This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 296 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and this is my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And on this lovely episode, we're going heisting. We're going to do some stealing. We're going to do some thievery. And we're covering a little movie from 2016, a small movie from a small franchise. You may have heard of it. It's a Star Wars film. It's called Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. That's the full title. We're just going to call it Rogue One for this podcast. Now, before we jump into it, I know you are a Star Wars fan more than me. I know you are out of us too, even though I know you like Star Trek better. You are still the bigger Star Wars fan out of yourself and myself. So when was the last time you watched this movie?
Well, I just found out I didn't own it in 4K.
I remember.
I was like, what the hell? The last time I seen this has to be in theater.
Oh, so it's been a good 6-7 years. I think it's the same for me, man. I do have this on 4K, but I don't remember ever watching it at home. It's been a good 7 years. Was it because we didn't like it? Was it because we just were busy watching other stuff? We're going to talk about it in a little bit. But before we do, let me go ahead and give you some Rotten Tomato scores. Because this baby got some Rotten Tomato scores, especially compared to that last movie we did. This is sitting at a nice 84% from the critics and 87% from the audiences. So, well-liked. People enjoy this movie. They like them some Rogue One. Anything surprising in those scores to you?
No, I could literally see that.
I agree. I'm not surprised either. And you know what's really funny? When I posted it on my Instagram that we were watching this, like two different people told me it was their favorite one, like of all the Star Wars movies. So when at least one person tells you that, when you see a high score, it's not that surprising. It's when you see like a 20 and someone's like, this is my favorite movie. Like that person, something's wrong with them.
I don't know. Something is wrong with
What do you mean this is your favorite movie?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's crazy. Financially.
Yeah.
I know I don't want to do it for like this type of film, but we have to. Yeah, pretty much. Budget was $200 million. Worldwide, it grossed $1 billion. It made $800 million plus in the box office.
533 in America.
Yeah, 533.
We'll call it a major success. We'll call it that. Yes. Yeah. Even with marketing, which you barely have to market a Star Wars movie, but even with marketing.
53 markets.
Yeah, this baby made at least for Disney, at least $400 million, easy, cleared, plus DVDs and Blu-rays and all that. All right, well, it's a big hit, but the question is, do we like it? Because we don't care about anybody else except ourselves. On this show, at least, we don't care. there's been plenty of movies that got 85%, and we say 2. So
that's true.
And vice versa. Stealth, 13%, 4. Yeah. we like what we like, and we hate what we hate. Alex, let's talk about it. Lead character. Now, obviously, this is a little bit of an ensemble. There's like it's a group, but Jyn Erso, played by Felicity Jones. She is the main character. Take it away.
She's a 5. First of all, I didn't know who she was. To me, this is the first time I've seen her on film, Felicity Jones. And when I saw her, one, I think she's gorgeous, and I love her British accent. I was like, those are two good mixes there. And don't she look like Lara Croft from the video game?
She does.
I don't understand why they do not ask her to play Lara Croft, because she has the British accent and she looks just like the model from the video game. So anyway, Jyn Erso, loved the character. Very rebel, very had her cause, loved her father so much that she really died to continue his legacy, which I loved. And my boy Lasheef was in this movie too, which
he's a good guy for once.
Yes, he is an amazing actor, man. Yeah. I love that he got to build the Death Star, the first Death Star. So you're like, holy moly. And he put Stardust as the name of the file. She knew. Again, I like Jyn also because I felt like in terms of Star Wars, and you know how they do Disney, I don't want to go down just this go rabbit hole, but with Disney's women forcing down your throat, this movie did not feel like that. This movie, they were like, they developed her character so well that I'm like, I love this character. I wish they never killed the damn character, but there's nothing you could do because this character was only written for this one movie. So pretty much. But I just love the way they told us these characters because they were all, look, the entire ensemble was written very well. I'll say this right now. From my man Donnie Yang and the blind, that's the first martial.
The force is with me. I know the force. Whatever you say.
He is the first martial artist like character in Star Wars. Besides, I know everyone's gonna go, yeah, but Darth Maul. No, I'm talking about full blown. He can whoop your ass with a stick, and he has no Jedi powers, no nothing. I mean, I think he did though. He literally had a little bit of it towards the ending.
Shot by all them bullets.
Yeah, he didn't get shot at all. So yeah. it told you that he had a little bit, but he wasn't like a full blown Jedi or whatever. But he was surrounded by the Force, like that good whatever. But anyway, I was just like, you know what? That's awesome. His friend, I loved him too, with the big cannon that shoots lasers. The only dude that I did not like is Cassian Andor. I don't like him. I didn't see the TV show because I was like, I hated that character. But he played him very well. Like, I'm not saying, like, I didn't like the character, but I thought the character did a great job in the movie. Like, he was going to snipe the father, and you're like, holy hell, this dude is evil, and I love the robots. Every time Star Wars puts a robot in the ensemble, you're going to love him. There's no way you're going to hate. But anyway, I'm going to let you go. I thought she was great. I gave it a 5. Perfect.
You know, okay, I think I agree. There's something very specific you said, and that is, of course, Disney with the strong female lead. This is one done right. This is one done right. She doesn't have magic powers. She's not the greatest of all time. She has to work to get what she wants. She has a team that helps her. She's not just, you know, dominating everything she does. There's always the potential for her to fail. And these are the things that make you a human character. And that's what's good for me. My only gripe with her is like, I agree with you. She is like, she fits in as a rebel, you know, like character, but she's like a little quiet. She's like the strong, silent type almost. You know, like she's kind of reserved. Although I do love the scene where she's with Forrest Whitaker and she kind of breaks down when she sees the hologram with her dad and all that. Like that was a good character moment. So even though she is that way, they fleshed it out here and there. I think they did a great job with her. I really enjoyed her. I like Cassian Andor. He is reminds me of, I guess he was supposed to be this movie's like Han Solo type, you know, where he's kind of a edgier. I'm not saying he's not even close to Han Solo. Don't get me wrong. But I think that was the mode they were going for.
Yeah.
I don't love him, but I did like him. And I like the robot's great. He's voiced by Alan Tudyk from the guy from Serenity. He's the pilot. Yeah, he does the voice. He's hilarious. He's like deadpan. I love when he just bops the guy in the head when he
that was funny.
It's so funny. Yeah, I love him. And even the pilot, Riz Ahmed plays the pilot. He was fun.
He was good, yeah.
Yeah. The only guy I hate, and it's not the lead, but I just have to say it. I hate Forrest Whitaker in this. Why does he got asthma? Why does he talk like that? I gotta go. He does this weird, and if you remember in the beginning of the movie, he talks on the screen, he talks normal, like Forrest Whitaker. But then when he's old, he's, the Bullock thing will eat your brains and your memories. Whatever. I'm like, dude, well, I hate that. I like him. I love him as an actor. I don't like that.
Well, I'll answer that quick for you. In Clone Wars, I think the cartoon, one of the seasons, I believe they show what happens to him, why he gets the
asthma.
Yeah, I think something happens during
Saw,
a fight.
He has a cool name, Saw Gerrera.
And he has the flat top that goes sideways.
He looks cool. I love Forrest Whitaker. I just, the only thing I don't like about him is the voice. Just how you hate Christian Bale Batman voice, I hate Saw Gerrera old man voice.
Yeah.
The thing, we're gonna eat your memories. It will tell us the truth.
I totally, Angelina was like, you're being mad racist, but it's voiced by the same guy. I was like, it reminded me when he played the dude from Black Panther. He was like, the Black Panther.
It's the same actor. It is the same actor.
How's that racist? It's the same dude. It just reminded me of him saying, you know,
but the with a dusty old voice. He got like a dusty old voice.
The same thing. So it was just like, we were laughing. I was just like, yeah, but I agree with you though. It is kind of funny.
Come here, my child. That's the only thing. I like the Asians, you know, I like Donnie Yen. I like his friend who don't talk much, but got a big gun. I gave him a 5. I think it's a good mixture of a good lead female and then a nice ensemble team around her that you like everybody for the most part.
Yeah.
So you're a 5, I'm a 5 as well. All right, villain. This is Ben Mendelsohn. Yeah, he's playing Krennic, and he is Ben Mendelsohn. What'd you think?
He is exactly what the Star Wars villain is. That dude is a 5. There's no way to go around it. My man went to this dude's like ranch and was like, we need your ass back to do the Death Star. And he's like, I ain't going back. He's like, my wife is dead. And then she came out and ruined that whole plan. And he was like, oh, look, she came back from the dead. Yeah. And then they killed her. Like, there were scenes in the movie that made you hate this character. And that is the point of the villain when it's played by a great actor. This is another movie that, to me, is a first-time watch for this actor. I think they shitted on him on, was it that Marvel movie when he played one of the Skrulls?
Captain Marvel.
Yeah, that was so dumb with that whole thing. But great actor, and they destroyed that with a comedic relief. I was just like, that's like taking Christian Waltz and make him Blofeld, and look what happened. Oh, they made that into a crappy character. But anyway.
It's like if they took Javier Bardem and made him into King Triton.
So like... He made him Sebastian.
They made him Ursula. That's like
that. I remember them as Ursula. Yeah. Oh my God.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. So it's like he was so freaking good. Like at the end, I love that one scene. Cassian shoots him. He falls, and Ursula. Oh, she wanted to just jump on him and like, wail on
him. Kick him off the thing.
Yeah. He was like, no. But that's the point of a villain, when the main character wants to whoop that dude's ass, and the audience is there with you. And then they brought back a legendary actor. Well, CGI actor, because he's dead. They brought back Tarkin, which everyone should know is from the first 4, 5, and 6.
Peter Cushing,
Peter Cushing. Like, he comes back as CGI. It did not look good on the digital version, so I don't know how the 4K would look on that. Yeah.
Bad.
So I liked the way they handled the villains in this movie. I'm going to let you go more in depth in this one, but yeah, I think they handled it well, so I gave it another 5. I thought they were perfect.
Alex, yeah, you remember Ben Mendelsohn. He was the villain in Ready Player One also.
Yes. Yeah, he was good there too.
I like him. He's a good act. I enjoy him. I think he's Australian. I'm pretty sure. All right. Well, maybe I'm about to sound like the main villain, because you really did a great job of talking about that villain and gave him a 5, but you said one thing which made me knock a point. So, and it's that he is a Star Wars villain. He is. Like, this is what you get. He doesn't make the jump to, like, incredible, like a Darth Vader or a Darth Any. He don't have powers. He's like a general guy, right?
Yeah.
But I gave him a 4. I only knocked off 1 point, so everybody don't get mad at me. I only, just because of that, because I felt like, it didn't feel new, it didn't feel fresh, but the actor's great. So a great performance. And you're right, this guy's a bastard, dude. Like, at the beginning, when he goes to get him, my man just wants to be retired. Not only that, then... he's like telling the wife, put it down, whatever. And then he just blasts her. Shoot her. I don't care. Galen Erso, he tells him, it was me. I sent the thing. And he still shoots all the old guys anyway. Shoot him.
Engineers.
Yeah. He should be blowing everybody away. Also, he gets a 4 though, because he got absolutely punked by Darth Vader. Like, so hard, you can't even deny it. He's like, it was a great scene, by the way. Darth Vader comes in. He's talking to him. He's like, oh, so you're going to tell the Emperor about me. You're going to tell him about how good I am. And he's like, he starts choking, which leads to Darth Vader's not known for one-liners, but a great one-liner. He's just like, be careful not to choke on your ambition or whatever he said. Like, okay.
Yeah, I think it was like that. Yeah.
My boy, Darth Vader, which, by the way, I think we got to factor him into the villains, because he shows up and he has, we'll save it for action, but he has one of the best scenes in the whole entire movie. And he's only on screen for like 5 minutes. So if that, maybe 3 minutes. So if you factor him into the villains and you factor all the, actually, I'm going to give it a five. I changed my score, because you know what? Even though he's the main, you got like a million stormtroopers. You got like the Empire is the villain, and it is a classic all time. So I'm going to change my score to a 5, factoring in all. But if it was just him, for me, 4. Okay. I'm really excited to talk about this. What do you got for action?
All right. So it's weird, because this movie's not heavy on action, like a typical Star Wars movie with the lightsabers and whatever. Towards the end, it is. On the beach, it was a lot of action on that beach. It was a lot. But I don't want people to be like, oh my God, you're evil. I give it a 5. Because...
Oh my God. Bro, you have it going for a second. What are you about to say?
This is one of the best well-done action. I think it gave you the amount of action you needed to conclude the movie. And I love that the storyline was the bulk of the beginning. It just gradually got better towards the end and gave you the big finale money shot. And I know the Darth Vader scene was a reshoot. They added that shit in towards later with another director. It wasn't even Garth Edwards who did it.
Yeah, it was Tony Gilroy, I believe.
Yeah, so that dude looked like he looked like he was going to be like, oh my God. Like when they told him he could shoot the scene, he was like, what? Let's go. Let's get into it because it was fun. I love the scene where Jen Erso sees her father gets blown up when she was like, father. And he was like, Stardust. And it went boom. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
That's where I got mad at my man Cassian because I was like, dude, you could have just been sniping these dudes from up there, but you wanted to be the douche and run over there. So I was like, that pissed me off. Then the Resistance got me mad because they sent all the bombers there. And I was like, you dudes, what are you doing? So that pissed me off even more. The beach scene was amazing. Like, again, there were so many fun parts. Even when they introduced Donnie Yang's character as one of the most iconic now in the film is when he comes out and he fights all the stormtroopers blind.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. The robot had some scenes that were really emotional, which you start to feel for him towards the end. Like all the Star Wars movies, when it comes to like these androids, you feel for them, like it or not. I mean, so I thought in terms of the action, it paid off very well. I'm going to let you take the Darth Vader scene because I know you want to talk about that one. So I think it worked out very well. One thing I will say before I end it, they did one of the most misleading trailer clips that pissed me off is when Jaren also is running to turn on the satellite and Darth Vader's ship goes up in front of her. And you're going, oh, Darth Vader's in his ship? Like, your ass is done. But they mislead you because that's not even in the movie. Nope. And I was just like, oh, but I always remember that because that's what sold me. Like, he was in his TIE Scepter or whatever the hell is called, the Darth Vader TIE Scepter, whatever. And I was
Darth
like,
Darth Vader's scepter.
Yeah, his scepter. Yeah. But other than that, kudos. I gave it a 5.
Yeah, dude, I checked the time because I knew it. I was watching the movie. I'm like, I know there's going to be some action in this. Not that there wasn't. There's little bits. But the last 40 minutes of the movie is an action set piece, pretty much. Mm. The whole entire thing. When they get to that planet where they're stealing the plans, from Scuff? That moment till the end is action. It's action. Yeah. It's nonstop. Because even when you're just with like Jin and Andor, even like they're climbing in the thing, they have to go get, like there's a lot of moving parts. Gareth Edwards, he directed, I want to say like pretty much all the movie. Little reshoots here and there, you're right. Tony Gilroy was brought in. But I love his style. He did The Creator recently, which also looks amazing. And I love the way he shoots the action. This is one of my, I think the best looking Star Wars movies, period. I'm not even lying. I love the way the X-Wings look when they come in on that planet when it's raining at night, the lights on them, like visually it looks awesome. That's a little action scene. You got the first Death Star when it blows up the dusty planet with dusty old Forrest Whitaker on it, you know. Yeah. It's an explosion, so I guess that's action. And then you're right, you got little spurts, but the action in the last scene is so, it has every single thing you could want from Star Wars action. You have space, you know, flying X-Wings and the other TIE fighter. Well, I didn't even see any TIE fighters, but X-Wings.
Death Stars.
Death Star. Yeah. Death Star. Star Destroyers. You get the Y-Wings. You get this thing. You get the shield. They got to break
Raditz.
The shield.
Is it called Raditz? The one with the fish face? He had the big...
Oh, yeah.
The general. I think it's called the Raditz. Yeah, I think it's called the Raditz.
And then you got the shield, and they got to bring that. Then you got the walkers, the AT-ATs down on the land. Yeah, they're walking. The elephants are walking. You got that little monkey that got that gun that shoots them in the legs and knocks them down. Awesome. You get lasers. There's lightsaber in this. What do you want? I mean, I don't know what else you want. 5. Executed to perfection. Darth Vader scene, incredible. I can honestly say, and I don't think this movie, don't get me wrong, I don't think this movie, obviously we're giving it a lot of high scores. I think it's great. But I'm not putting it on the level all the way of Darth Vader-wise of the old movies.
Yeah.
But he never did anything as cool as what he does in this movie in any of the old movies. And I don't care what anybody says. Just cool. Just like as far as being a bad guy and slaughtering people. This, because even in the prequels, right? Like he kills the younglings. They didn't show it.
No.
They just tell you. And other than that, freaking Obi-Wan whoops him. You know what I mean? He cuts off his legs. So, and then in the old movies, you know, there isn't, it's like, it's not like crazy action. This, he's like shooting all the lasers back at people, force choking them, throwing them across the room, slamming them in the ceiling, slicing and dicing. 5. I love it. And he almost gets them, and then you see the ship pulling away, and he walks up like, oh, you barely just got away. You were 1 second away. Oh, my gosh. So I think the action's great. I agree with you. All right, storyline.
I give it a 5. And this is why I give it a 5. One of the hardest things in film, when you do a movie where there is slot between two other films, whether it is taking place after the first movie and you have to continue the story, one of the hardest thing to do is how to continue a story without destroying the franchise or the films that came before it. This movie tackled the storyline in a unique way. Like, you knew there were people that got the plans, and that was what the movie was about. George Lucas did not come up with the idea. He just put a team of rebels or resistance fighters, grabbed the plans, gave it to Leia. That is it. These new writers, these new Disney heads went, we need to tell a story that is slotted between 3 and 4, so we can start this whole thing. And I think they did one of the most amazing jobs. I mean, I'm not talking about the new Star Wars stuff, but this felt like a George Lucas movie that you could literally put with the Star Wars saga. And with the Skywalker saga. And you go, okay, fine. The movie ends with Leia, and you already know Leia is going to give R2-D2 the message to give it to Kenobi, and there you go. We're halfway done. We're happy. So Vader came in contact with his daughter, not knowing his daughter was on the ship. That is awesome to anyone that knows the history or whatever. That is one of the coolest things there. And I loved it. Jern Oso's storyline, the father storyline, that everyone thinks that this dude was going to build this thing to destroy the planet, and this dude was doing it to save his daughter and the entire universe. Like, this is not okay with the power going to this faction. So for me, that is hard to tackle, how to put a movie slotted here and there and then throw another storyline for characters that we never heard of. I think it was genius. Kudos to the writers. Kudos to the people that came up with the idea, and Disney for allowing this. I'm not talking about Disney now, but one thing I do agree with you, Nate, I like when Star Wars is filmed cinematic more than the J.J. Abrams. That's why I tell people, like, people go, oh, Last Jedi and blah, blah, blah. I will always say this to the day I die. The Last Jedi looks way better than Force Awakens and looks way better than the Rise of Skywalker, because it looks way more cinematic, and that's what Star Wars should be. Cinematic, not this cartoony looking thing. That's, leave it to the animation. I love the cinematic look. It feels right when the sabers are on, the darks are popping. So I agree with you on that one. So anyway, with that said, I gave the storyline a 5. I think it's a perfect storyline, and those are my reasons why.
Yeah. No, well said. Well said. I don't disagree with everything or with anything you said. I did give it a 4, but I'll tell you why. It's a nature of the beast with me with prequels. Mm. You already know the end. And watching a movie where you automatically know the end, for me, it's more about the journey that you get there, right? So, like, I know how this is going to end. They're going to get the plans. It's going to get to Leia. They're going to be able to blow up the Death. You know, because you've seen the other movies. I will say, if you have never seen a Star Wars movie, and, like, this was your first one, which technically it could be, it could be, like, if you watch them in a certain order, you could start here and then go into the old ones.
Yeah.
If you don't watch the prequels, let's say, or if you start with the prequels and get to this, whatever. If you've seen this before the old ones, this, you won't have this effect. But for me, I already know how it ends. You know, these lead characters ain't living. They're not in anything else. They're not even talked about. You know what I mean? Like, it was just a group of rebels got us the thing. Where I like the movie and why I still gave it a 4 is because something you said that you hit the nail on the head. They somehow were able to develop characters that you do like, even though you know they're going to die. And you know, in the grand scheme of the universe, they're nobodies. You know what I mean? Like, they're literally just the group that went to get the plans. That's all they are. But they made you feel for the character, Jin, especially with the stuff with her dad, and Mads Mikkelsen, I agree, a great actor. Always. Every time he's in something, he's good in it. The movie may not be great, he's always good in it. You know what I mean? Except the new Indiana Jones. But everything else, he's good. So yeah, I agree with that. But for me, it's that whole ending thing. Like, I love movies where you're watching it and you don't know how it's going to end. You know what I mean? And so it's hard for me to fully, like, invest and people I know are going to die. So it kind of hinders, just for me personally. So it's a 4 for me, but I don't disagree with your point. I think you're right. Like, for them to just take this nugget of an idea, hey, who got the plans? Who got the plan? That's the, right? That's the idea. Someone got the plans. Let's make a whole movie about it. I think they did an amazing job fleshing that out. But prequels just aren't always my cup of tea because I know what's going to happen and it affects it for me. So 5 for you, 4 for me overall.
You know, I don't do this much and it's kind of rare for me to do this, but overall, I think with the storyline, the way they wrote it, the way it was filmed, the way the characters you loved and the score was still John Williams, you cannot take it away. I gave it a 5. There's no way. I think this has to be, man, I don't know how to say this, but this has to be the best out of the Disney era films.
Head and whether shoulders it's
Solo. Yeah. I mean, we didn't get to Solo, which I know we're going to but, and then the other three movies, 7, 8, and 9. I think out of all of those, this has to be the well packaged of everything Disney should have gave us with the other movies. But with that said, I mean, that's, again, that's another argument another day, but I gave it a 5.
Yeah, this is definitely the best Disney Star Wars, hands down. And I don't hate the other ones as much as some people, but again, I am not the Star Wars guy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I know the diehards who really grew up with it, who love it, they don't like them. And I don't like all, I didn't like The Last Jedi. And I think Rise of Skywalker has a lot. I like Force Awakens pretty good though, but I don't claim to be a diehard Star Wars fan. So whatever. But I still think this is the best of the Disney Star Wars. You're absolutely right. The characters are right. The visual look, it looks better. It looks amazing. The action is there. As an action movie, this is the most action movie out of all of them. Like, the other ones are Star Wars movies. They're space. Yeah. There is action in them, but they're all, there's like 50 characters and it's this big storyline. This is more small scale. And then like, it's a war movie at the end. They're on the beach. It literally is like Saving Private Ryan, but with space stuff and laser. You know what I mean? So I think it's different. I still ended up at a 4 because of the story stuff. Like, just knowing the ending, knowing all that stuff, it hinders it for me in that way. But I don't disagree with you and anybody else who gave it a 5. I'll tell you that much, because I do think it's a great movie. I really enjoyed it and I don't watch it often, but I will definitely watch it again soon. Maybe when we cover the Star Wars movies, I'll watch it again to, you know, make it for the next one to be like a little bit more engaging and stuff, or just to see how it flows. You know what I mean? But yeah. I totally see your score. So obviously, what's your total?
It's a 25 out of a 25. I think it's the first perfect within, I think we did in a while.
That's the first perfect you've done in a long time.
In a very long time,
I don't remember the last one. That's how long it's
been. It's a perfect.
Yeah, I gave it 23. So I'm not, I'm very far off. 23 out of a 25. This is a fantastic movie. If you haven't seen it for some reason, definitely watch it. Would you say that people should watch it? What's your ideal watch order for the Star Wars for you personally? If you're going to do a marathon, how would you do it?
I won't add Solo because Solo has nothing to do with the Skywalker. It has nothing to do with it. So I would go 1, 2, 3, Rogue One, 4, 5, 6.
So you'd 7, 8, and 9. In story order.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tend to like to watch stuff in release order, but because this one falls in between the prequels and the original, I don't know how I would do it. I'd probably do it in that order as well. Now, having seen them all, I'd probably just go in story order.
Because I think you would enjoy it more with that slotted between 3 and 4, because now you know the ending going right in. I mean, of course it's gonna look weird because it's the 70s and all that, but still, like, once you see the storyline, you go, oh, okay. That's where, you know,
if you were going to watch Solo, I think it would go after, because it has Darth Maul in it at the end, remember?
And he was Solo, I think it's slotted between 2.
So between 2 and 3?
Yes. I mean 1 and 2.
So it'd be 1, then Solo, then 2, then 3, then Rogue One.
Yeah, because I don't know if we don't know what timeline is.
Huh? It's like the metal leg Darth Vader from the cartoon. That's what I heard. Remember in one of the cartoons? Him, huh?
They never showed his body. They only showed the top.
Yeah, but remember, he got cut in half. So he has to have the metal legs.
Well, that's what I was trying to tell you, is that we don't know what timeline is Emperor Palpatine his master at that time? Like, we really don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's so, I mean, if it is the metal legs, that's towards the cartoon. So that's Clone Wars, which Clone Wars is slotted like between 2. Yeah, I think it's after 2 and 3.
Between 2 and 3. So there you go, guys. If you're going to watch it, me and Alex think the order would be 1, 2, Solo, 3, Rogue One, and then five, six, eight.
Yeah, but I would go without Solo and just go one, two, three, Rogue One, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
Fair enough. All right, so this was a big hit with us, with the critics, with the audiences, made a lot of money, did really well, and we enjoyed it as well. All right, here's what we got coming up. Next week, we are wrapping up Ninja Turtles with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, the final of the live-action Turtles movies. And then we're continuing Heist Month with a movie I actually have been excited to do on this show because I only saw it once, but I remember it having a lot of action. And we're checking out Alex's main man, Uncle Jerry, Gerard Butler, in Den of Thieves. Doing a little Den of Thieves, a little 50 Cent, a little Pablo Schreiber, a little Uncle Jerry Butler. So that's what we got coming up. A little bank heist, right? I think they're robbing a bank in that movie. So yes, Den of Thieves, Ninja Turtles, Out of the Shadow next week.
I will say this, for those of you out there that really want to do the Star Wars thing, I will just say this now, mad quick. Solo takes place 9 years after the end of Revenge of the Sith. So part three. Yeah, so Solo. 1, 2, 3,
Solo, Rogue One.
Yes, because then Rogue One is 5 years. It's 5 years before Rebels. So that Rebels is the cartoon. So I don't want people to be like, whatever. Then it says about a decade, which is 10 years before the events of Rogue One and A New Hope. So it'll be Solo, Rebels cartoon, into Rogue One, into New Hope.
If you're really committed and you just want to do the whole thing, that's your order right there.
That's your order right there. But if you want to do just the movies, it'll be Solo, Rogue One, into A New Hope. So I don't know. I think that's how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
When we do our Star Wars, we'll do Solo. I'm going to rewatch it in Rogue One and then go right into those. So there you go. There you have it. That's it. You guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to Instagram at Geeks and Flicks. Head over to the official website at www.geeksandflicks.com. He is your host,
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. May the force be with you. Be awesome to each other and geek out.